Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. According to the law, you are not allowed to shoot off most fireworks. According to the law, you are not allowed to drive a car without a valid driver's license, up-to-date registration, and proper insurance. According to the law, you must pay your income tax obligation by April 15th. According to the law, these aren't words we're particularly eager to hear. An awful lot of the time, they seem to impose a burden on us or to restrict us from doing something we might otherwise be inclined to do. The level of the resentment of the law differs from person to person. But I doubt there's anyone who never chafes at all under the requirements of the law. If that's the case when it comes to civil laws, it's probably even more so when it comes to the requirements of God's law. In my previous congregation, I was once teaching the commandments to a class of young people. As I recall, they must have been 6th or 7th graders. When we came to the 6th commandment, and I explained to them what it meant, what you are supposed to do, and what you are forbidden from doing, according to the commandment, one of the young ladies in the class protested, "But that's not fair! That means I can't do what I want to do!" I have to say that I was more than a little shocked by her response. Reflecting on it after the fact, though, I realized that it really shouldn't have surprised me that she thought that. What was more surprising is that she said it out loud. According to our sinful nature, that's what we all think about the commandments. Why shouldn't I be able to do whatever I want, the old Adam in us demands? Who does God think he is anyway, we might be tempted to continue. But then we realize to ask the question is to answer it. Not only does God think he's God, he is God. He is the one who created you and me. We are his creatures. He has every right to set up standards and demand that we follow them. And if his being our creator weren't enough, he is also our redeemer. He paid the price to buy us out of the punishment of death and hell. And so we are his twice over. Of course, that doesn't settle our problem with the law. It doesn't make our sinful nature any more amenable to its demands. In some ways, it increases the problem. Not only do we still want to do what God has forbidden, or not to do what he requires, now we also resent God for having the right to make demands on us. Luther expressed this reaction of the sinful nature forcefully when he wrote, "I did not love, no rather I hated the just God who punishes sinners. I said, isn't it enough that we miserable sinners lost for all eternity because of original sin? Are oppressed by every kind of calamity through the Ten Commandments? Why does God heap sorrow upon sorrow and threaten us with his justice and his wrath? This was how I was, raging with wild and disturbed conscience." These were Luther's thoughts before he came to understand the gospel. And it is the way that natural man always reacts to God's law. The law says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. To anyone who responds, well, that's pretty much where I'm at. The scriptures say further, by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. Through the law comes knowledge of sin. And then putting the final nail in our coffin, the soul who sins shall die. According to the law, there is no hope for you or me. According to the law. But this morning we hear that Mary and Joseph did for Jesus everything that was required according to the law of Moses and according to what is said in the law of the Lord. Luke takes pain to underline this, mentioning 5 times in our text that what was being done was in accordance with the law. The 13th chapter of Exodus details the particular law involved. It required that the firstborn son be redeemed by the offering of a specified sacrifice, because the firstborn belongs to the Lord. This may seem a small matter. Obedience to a relatively obscure and insignificant requirement. But that's not the case. Jesus' obedience to every last detail of the law is part of the whole reason that he came. As we heard from Galatians a few minutes ago, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day, because that's what God told Abraham and his descendants after him to do. The sacrifice of redemption of the firstborn was offered for Jesus because that's what God's law required. Throughout his whole life, Jesus actively obeyed every requirement God set for his people. And he did it for you. He did it for me. He did it so that his righteousness, his perfect obedience, could be credited to us in that marvelous exchange that occurred when he took the burden of every one of our sins on his shoulders and drained the cup of God's wrath for you and for me, suffering death and hell on the cross so that they wouldn't be our fate. And make no mistake, by nature, Jesus wasn't obliged to obey God's law. Because he is true God, the law didn't have a claim over him that it has over you and me. Yet for you and me, in order to accomplish our salvation, Jesus didn't cling to his divine prerogatives. Instead, from the moment that he took on human flesh and bone, he willingly subjected himself to every demand of the law, satisfying God's requirements for you and for me perfectly. His obedience in every respect was necessary for us, because if he had kept the whole law for us, except in just a single point, we would still be accountable for the whole thing. His perfect obedience, from the virgin's womb to the moment when calling out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and breathed his last. His perfect obedience throughout his life is the basis for God's verdict, not guilty. St. Paul explains it this way in his letter to the Galatians. "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. His perfect righteousness, his doing everything according to the law, this is the spotless white garment he provides to cover every one of your sins. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your failures to obey, but rather the perfect obedience of his Son, Jesus. He clothed you with this garment of holiness through the waters of holy baptism. And though in our daily experience white clothing is all too quickly soiled, the garment of Christ's righteousness remains unsullied forever. When you return to your baptism each day by contrition and repentance, in Christ you are daily renewed in righteousness and purity. Jesus' perfect righteousness for you according to the law means that you can join with Simeon, singing in confidence and joy, 'Lord, I can die today. For in your Son, Jesus, I have seen your salvation. In your holy gospel and in the sacraments, you have revealed your compassion and mercy to me and to all people. My eyes have seen it, Lord. It's clear as can be. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. All for sin could not atone. thou must save, and thou alone. If it depended on my obedience according to the law, Lord, I know I would be doomed. But because of your mercy and grace, it doesn't depend on what I've accomplished according to the law. You sent Jesus, and he has done, completed, what I could never do. The poet had it right. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand on that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay. Fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. When from the dust of death I rise to claim my mansion in the skies, this then shall be my only plea. Jesus hath lived and died for me. It's true. Christ's righteousness avails for you throughout all eternity. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.